people with big hearts. And so it's my friend now. He's my homie. So just give a warm welcome to Larry as he comes to share the word of God with us.
Somebody bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you can do better than that. I said bless the Lord.
Amen.
That would be okay for Liverpool, but I said bless the Lord. The Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together.
Amen.
So let's bless the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody told me that hallelujah was the highest praise. So I say hallelujah. He woke me up this morning. Hallelujah. He started me on my way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Clothing in my right mind. Hallelujah. I certainly bless God for this grand opportunity to stand before his people. Certainly do not take it lightly. Before we get started, and she doesn't know this, but she probably aware, I'm going to ask my wife to sing. And I shared with her a dream I had last night, which lets me know, well, first, my dreams let me know I'm not a dreamer. In my dreams, I'm getting chased by superheroes and all kind of stuff, so I know I'm not a dreamer. I beat up Superman in my dreams, so I know I'm not a dreamer. But last night, I was dreaming, and there was a group of you all and a group of people from the church I grew up in when I was a kid, and just it was a group of a mixed group of folks that I've met over the last, I wasn't going to say 21, but I'm 43. Last 43 years in the service. And this, there was a woman that I knew when I was young. I'd never been little. I was young. Never been little. And she was singing a song. And the song resonated with me as I woke up. And the song says, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And that's the song. And they were, I don't know how she want to go, but that was just, that's all they was doing was the chorus. And come on. And one thing I noticed is that Andrea hadn't got, you know, she's always fashionably late. You know, if Andrea late, trust me, she's gonna look good when she get there. Just messing with her. It's my baby. And so in the service they was waiting for Andrea to come, and I was the preacher of the service, which was a blessing all in itself. And Andrea wasn't there yet, so they asked this lady to sing. And she just started singing, going from the part Waymaker. And the people in the congregation, half of them were on their phones. They were, whatever they were doing, Facebook, social media, whatever. But they were singing the chorus while she was, you know, ad-libbing the song. And I'm just telling you about my dream. I told you my dreams. And so I want the not only the gift in her, but the anointing that's on her life to bless you. Amen. And so you do it how you want to do it, and then I'll get up here and try to preach, and then we'll go have lunch somewhere, okay?
Okay. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Oh, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Oh, yeah. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. darkness. Oh, you are Jehovah Jireh, way maker, way maker. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are here, mending broken hearts, and I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around, and I worship you. I worship you. Healing the tormented mind, yeah. Lord, I worship you. I lift my head to worship you, yeah. Because you are a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you. You're my everything. You, I am that I am. Waymaker, maker, promise keeper, light in the dark day. My God, that is who you are. You are Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here. Hallelujah. Promise keeper, darkness, my God, that is who you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on, don't stop praising him. Don't stop praising him. Don't stop praising him. I believe there's power in your praise. I believe there's deliverance in your praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm gonna read my scripture text real quick. I'm going to read a scripture text. And then as we were doing praise and worship, the Lord began to change the format of my message. Don't you just love it when he do that? I'm going to read my scripture. Turn your Bibles, if you will, your iPads, your iPhones, your Androids. Boo. Or if you have a hardback or a softback, turn your Bible with me to 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. Verses 13 through 16. Now, I am going to be reading out of the King James Version. First Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 16. If you don't have a King James, that's okay, but there's a purpose for me reading out of the King James Version. When you have it, let the preacher know by saying amen. Amen. If y'all haven't figured it out, I like a talk back church. I like a talk back church. I like a hallelujah every once in a while, or you better say that, or preach, preacher, or something. I like a talk back church. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, in the King James says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith." Mm-hmm. "Quit you like men, be strong." Verse 14, "Let all your things be done with charity." We know that means love, right? Verse 15, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia. and that they have, watch this, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I'm going to repeat verse 15 real quick, because I want you to catch this. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, watch this, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I want you to do me a favor and look at your neighbor, look him square in the eye, and with boldness tell him, I'm addicted to something else. Come on, you can do better than that. You gotta be bold. See, I use the King James because that word addicted is in the King James one time. And most of the time we know the word addicted to be negative. But the Bible says that they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm addicted to something else. I don't know about you. I'm going to look behind me. I'm addicted to something else. Before I get into my message, the Lord showed me something. Many times we've either had an addiction or we know someone who was an addict, negative. There was behavior that followed the addiction. Am I right? Most of the time you met somebody who was a drunk, they had behavior that showed that they were drunk. They laughing and nobody told a joke. You know, greeting everybody with love. How you doing, brother? Dancing and ain't no music playing. There was action that showed that they had an addiction. So how then can we say we're addicted to Christ? And the praise team got to get up here and pump and prime us. I'm going to do what I do best. I'm going to go and straighten up the church. I'm going to say, why is it that our behavior does not show our addiction? You understand? We can look across the street right now and say, that brother over there drunk. Based on how he's walking. Never have to speak to him. Never have to hear him talk. Don't know about his intellect. Don't know about his college degrees. Don't know how he was raised. Don't know if he was raised in a two-parent household or one-parent household. But his behavior shows that he has an addiction. So then, if we say we're addicted to Christ, there ought to be behavior that shows it. Somebody say, I'm addicted to something else. And then there was this. Help me, Holy Ghost. Then there was this. My message. I also noticed that most of the children, whether they were, most of the 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds pretty much have their own kind of like behavior. They don't know what's really going on yet. But most of the teenagers or the 10-year-olds or the 8-year-olds were just sitting there. They were just sitting there. Most times when someone has a substance addiction and they're pregnant, right? The reason they say don't drink when you're pregnant is because the baby might come out with something. The reason why you hear the term crack baby is because the mother or the father was smoking crack or doing that at the time of conception. And so they say don't do that because it might get into the child. And then, you know what? And then it might get into the child. And then the child will come out due to no fault of their own with behaviors that mimic that addiction. So then, if we are praisers who are parents, if we are worshipers who are parents, the same behavior that we exhibit. Now, I'm not saying that the parent is not a praiser. What I'm saying is we need to be addicted to teaching our children how important praise and worship is. Amen. Don't be sitting up in church doing any old thing during praise and worship. No. If I'm praising, you're praising. You better wait until you get outside with all that. You understand what I'm saying? Because we are addicted to something else, it should be in our children as well. Amen? Okay, now I can get into my message. Y'all forgive me. Y'all with me? Somebody tell the church, tell the Lord, thank you. I told y'all I could talk back, church. I'm addicted to something else. There are many things in this life that we make ourselves available to. Most of our availability is based on either what our heart demands or what our needs and our want demands. Right? Right? We make ourselves available to our loved ones, our spouses, girlfriends, our boo things, whatever you got, boyfriends, whatever it is. We make ourselves, our children, our family members, we make ourselves available to them because that's what our heart demands. Correct? We make ourselves available to our places of employment because we have needs that demand we do that. The light bill not going to pay by itself. Pay, you know, look, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But a thank you, Lord, is not going to keep them from cutting off your lights. So we make ourselves available to our employment because we have needs to be met. We make ourselves available to sleep. Sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes it's too much. But nevertheless, we make sure that we get our sleep. Correct? But when it comes to God, we tend to give God whatever we have left. We'll pray if we're not too tired. We'll fast if we feel like it. We won't do individual fast. We'll do corporate fast. You know, misery loves company. And when you're hungry, you want to look at somebody and say, yeah, I'm hungry too. You know, watch this. We'll come to church if the weather's all right. But if a storm comes, I find it interesting how when a storm comes, we won't come to church. Or we won't do anything involving the church. But the minute we come in a storm in our life, we want God to show up. We want God to show up. We don't care if he's tired. We don't care if he's hungry. We don't care if he's been all up all night with the kids. We don't care nothing about that. If he had to work overtime, we want God and we want him now. I know I'm preaching. We don't care. We want him. But we give him the scraps off our plate. We give him whatever's left. We'll make sure our bills are paid before we pay our time.
Yeah, that's the pastor. That's on you. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to let you pass to the church. I'm not going to.
But we will make sure that our bills get paid before we pay our tithes. Don't you know that in the Bible, in Malachi, the third chapter, this is the only time in the Bible that the Lord himself tells you to test me. The only time when it comes to tithing, he says, test me. I think the old folks would say, I dare you. I double dare you. I double dog dare you. I triple dog. It's the only time in the Bible when it comes to tithing that the Lord said, test me. And then right there, he said, test me and see what? See if I want. This is God we're talking about, the creator of everything. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's saying, test me. Prove me now. And see if I won't open the windows of heaven. And do what? And pour you out. Where are my Bible scholars at? And pour you out a blessing that there's not enough room to receive. Then why then will we spend most of our energy and time trying to figure out our bills instead of paying our tithes? And I'm so tired of hearing, well, I don't know what the church is doing with the money. I don't know about the Bible says it. We listen to some things in the Bible, but when it comes to our money, oh no. We need to be more, like my little cousin would say, be more specific. I'm saying specific. You got to be more specific. I'm supposed to pay a tenth of what? Is that before taxes? Or is that? No, look, pay your tithes. It's all about obedience. God is not concerned with our money. He owns the cattle of a thousand hills. He don't need our money. But God has a plan, a financial plan for the church, and it's tithing and offering. The amen don't keep the lights on. All right. We don't need to run to these addictions. A lot of times we addict ourselves to everything except the work of God. As soon as we wake up in the morning, the first thing we do is we grab our cell phone before we tell the Lord thank you. We spend all day on social media but won't give God 30 minutes in his word. We play video games for 4 hours, 5 hours straight, sometimes overnight. But never thought, let me give 30 minutes to God and his word. Video games ain't never saved nobody. But the word of God, the anointing, destroys the yoke. We don't need to run to these addictions to fill our time. There's enough to do in the kingdom. For I heard the Bible say that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I've come to understand that the scripture is not simply a ratio between the work and the workers, but it is an indication that many of us are not operating with the kingdom business mindset. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I wish I had 5 folks that's addicted to kingdom business to holler glory.
Glory, glory,
hallelujah. See, one thing I know about is addiction. I was trying to determine how deep into this I would get. One thing I love about, and y'all praise God for y'all pastor. And first lady. One thing I love about Pastor Williams is that he never ceases to let people know, I used to be an alcoholic. Or I used to be on some kind of addiction. The Bible says in Revelations 12 and 11, help me, Pastor. Revelations 12 and 11, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and love not our life unto the death. We need to share these things. None of us were born. None of us came out of the womb saved. And the only reason we exist right now is because God allowed it. His addiction to us and Christ's addiction to his Father is the only reason why we exist. And so I'm familiar also with being an addict for a number of years. I was addicted to crystal meth. And I find it interesting how when I'm sharing this story, especially one-on-one, the person I'm talking to is looking at me like, there's no way. There's no way. There's nothing about you that says you was on crystal, especially my size. They can't believe. They're like, no. You was on that low fat crack. You was on that reverse meth something. You're a big fella. But that's because the difference between when God healed your scars and when a surgeon healed your scars, most of the time when a surgeon healed your scars, there's evidence that there was a problem there.
Oh, come on, brother. Come on. Good work.
They go in and they cut, they clean what needs to be cleaned, and they sew you up. And 20 years later, you can show somebody evidence. I got a stab wound right here, right now. There's evidence of it. That's right. Evidence. Shoulder surgery. But when God heals your scars, the only way people are going to know that it was a problem there is that you testify about the goodness of Jesus. Somebody say, I'm addicted to something else. One thing I've discovered is that it takes an addiction to God to learn his promises. But it's God's addiction to you that causes him to perform. Even though we don't deserve it. Somebody say grace. I don't know about you, but I'm addicted to something else. We need to start addicting ourselves to the work of the Lord. On the job, at the appropriate time, we need to be aware of ministering opportunities. As we go forth during our daily endeavors, we need to be addicted to recognizing witnessing opportunities. When we first got saved, we were addicted to telling everybody about Jesus. But now, we only talk to those who look and act like us. We need to get addicted. You may ask yourself, why does the preacher keep saying that he is addicted to something else? Since you asked yourself, I'm going to tell yourself, I was addicted once to drugs, but now I'm addicted to something else. There was a time when I was addicted to the street light, but now I'm addicted to something else. I was even addicted to crime and dealing and using drugs and et cetera, but now I'm addicted to something else. Just know that whatever your negative addictions are, you don't have to stay there. Our righteousness is of filthy rags, but Jesus died to become our righteousness. Somebody say hallelujah. God can clean you up, turn you around, and place your feet on solid ground. I'm addicted to something else. Excuse me while I do a little dichotomy as we explore the mind of an addict. A substance addict does not care about nothing or nobody. But a Jesus addict cares about all men. A substance addict spends all night thinking of who they can get over on. But a Jesus addict can't stop thinking of who they can help. A substance addict needs to get his fix. They crave it even in their sleep. But someone addicted to Jesus can't sleep if there's a need to be met. And the only fix they need is a touch from the Lord. I'm telling you something I heard and not something. I'm telling you something I know, not something I heard. A substance addict will rob, steal, die for their addiction. But when you are addicted to Jesus, you can't help but build up love and die daily to self. My addiction to the world had me loving what hated me. But my addiction to Christ has me loving who hates me. When you are addicted to Jesus Christ, it consumes everything about you. It takes over your mind, takes over your behavior, takes over your thought process. It takes over your personality. I believe the older folks used to say, the things that I used to do, I don't do no more. The places that I used to go, I don't go no more. The things that I used to say, I don't say no more. The way that I used to walk, I still walk like that. I'm walking for Jesus now. I'm addicted to something else. Watch this, watch this. When you are addicted to Jesus Christ, some folks still treat you like you're addicted to a substance. They won't call you. They stop calling you. They won't ask you to do the grace at the barbecues no more. You know, they asked me to do the grace. When I first got saved, they asked me to do the grace at the barbecue. I tried to save everybody in there. It took us 30 minutes to get to eat. I had no sense. You couldn't ask me to say grace or ask me to pray or ask me to talk about Jesus. I was gung-ho, Geronimo, I'm gone. Amen? Folks treat you any old kind of way, even if you're addicted to Jesus. They stop inviting you over to their house, say all they want to do is talk about the Lord. Hey, that's how they treat you. Uh-huh. The folks start answering the phone. They look at the caller ID. I'm not answering. He don't want to do nothing but talk about Jesus. I'm not answering the phone. But you got to stay addicted to this thing. For those that feel like this message is not for you, let me expose a couple things here. If all you do is gossip and talk about people and slander people's names, you might have an addiction. If you're continuously making excuses as to why you can't or won't give, you might have an addiction. If you're always walking around with this woe is me attitude, you, my friend, have an addiction. If all you think about is yourself, you have an addiction to yourself. If you do what you do to please people and not God, you have an addiction. If you do what you do to expect and expect or demand to be paid and get mad when they can't, guess what? This message is for you too. I don't know about you, but I'm working on my addictions. Since I've been delivered, I found out I'm addicted to something else. I'm going to go to my text really quick. We see in the text that the brethren of the house of Stephanas have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They are willing to allow being a servant to be the focal point of their existence. The needs of the saints have become the charge of their life. Give me some water. I'm inclined to believe that because they have addicted themselves to the saints, they continually fast and continually pray. Because if I can keep it real for a minute, if you're going to deal with the saints, you must addict yourself to fasting and praying. You have to addict yourself to love for your fellow man or woman. You have to addict yourself to the mindset, for God I live and for God I'll die. You have to addict yourself to the fact that no matter what you're going through, God is yet on the throne and he will work it out. You have to addict yourself to the word of God. So when trouble comes your way, and it will come, you may remind yourself that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Thank you. You have to addict yourself to pleasing God and only God. So when they don't say thank you or try to take advantage of you, you do it because you want to hear one day, well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. But before that happens, we need to be addicted to love. Even when haters hate on you, we need to be addicted to blessing them that despitefully use you. We need to be addicted to praying for the sick and preaching the gospel to the poor, healing the brokenhearted and preaching deliverance to the captives, helping to recover sight to the blind, setting liberty to them that are bruised. We need to be addicted to giving, paying our tithes, and sowing good seed. We need to be addicted to church work, cleaning the church, maintaining the church. We need to be addicted to real ministry. The enemy been after me ever since I started putting this message together. But that's all right. I'm addicted to something else. When you are addicted to ministry, you can't just walk by an alcoholic and say you don't have anything. You can't just walk by the meth head or walk by the pothead and say you don't have anything. You can't just walk by the crackhead or the prostitute or the wayward child and say you don't have anything. You can't just walk by the lost child or the child molester or the homosexual or the murderer and say, you don't have anything. I believe it was at the gate when he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I do have, I give to you. Your situation is changed in the name of Jesus right now. Somebody say, I'm addicted to something else. I can't leave here without talking about my Jesus. I'm going to the cross. Jesus went to the cross as an addict. If I had a conversation with Jesus, it would go something like this. Jesus, I don't understand you. What is a matter with you? Why did you let them do you like that? Why did you put up with all the stuff they did to you? They beat you and they lied on you and talked about you and denied you and stretched you high and stretched you wide and nailed your hands and feet and they put to the cross and they pierced your side. What is it that kept you on the cross, Jesus? Why is it that you endured the shame and dealt with all of that? And I believe the conclusion of the whole matter, Jesus would say to me, I was addicted to my purpose. He is addicted to our healing because he was wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He is addicted to our peace. For I heard the Bible say that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds, which is in Christ Jesus. He's addicted to our victory. For I heard the word of the Lord say that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will hold up a standard or a banner of victory against him. He's addicted to our joy because, as I said before, his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Somebody shout hallelujah. Put your hands together and bless the Lord. We need to be addicted to the work of the saints. We need to addict ourselves to it. We have the ability to addict ourselves to it. Amen. And if all of us in here can be honest and frank, none of us in here give God as much time as we probably need to. We allow our everyday situations. We allow the TV. I'm guilty of it. The TV to rob us of our time with our Savior. Amen. And then when it comes time to do ministry, we realize that we somehow The Lord figured out how to help us, but we got stuck feeling like we didn't have the power we need. We should be able to listen.
Pastor preach about faith, hope, and love, charity. Then my brother preached about, I missed a couple weeks, but my brother preached about, most people, I'm not dying for a lie. Brother over here, right? What he preached about. Most people not, what's his name?
Rick.
Brother Rick said, most people are not going to die for a lie. He believed this thing is true. All right? And then Sister Claire preached about the blood of Jesus Christ flowing through our veins. Then why then, if we have Jesus Christ in our veins, are we not acting like a Jesus Christ addict? Why is it? Now, mind you, let me just say this. I'm the preacher now saying it to you, but trust me. The Lord's been smacking me upside my head every day since I've been putting this message together, because the message is for the messenger first. And conviction has been on me since I started putting this thing together. Amen? So I'm not preaching you something I heard. I'm not preaching something that somebody else preached. I'm living this thing right now. I have not addicted myself to the ministry of the saints. And I know it. And so now my prayer is that the Lord would do what he needs to do. Listen, let me say this. There's one thing I know about me, and we talked about what we know about God. He's a way maker, a miracle worker. We know these things about God. One thing about me, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Amen. But in order for me to do what I need to do for Christ, I need to. The word addiction simply means devoted. But it's in the King James Version. Why is the word addiction in the King James Version this one time? I believe it's a rhema word. I believe this word was specifically planted in here for a reason that we know not of. Because if you look in the ASV or the Message or the Amplified or the New King, it says devoted. So why does King James, you know, with the these and the thous and the those and the therefores and the, why all of a sudden does the King James use the word addicted? God knew. God knew. And so now we have to addict ourselves to the ministry of the saints. Amen. God bless you.
Come on, let's thank God for that word right now. Amen. Amen. Thank. Yeah. That it was a word from God, and I believe we need to take hold of